Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to be using as my text Ezekiel 3, which you can find on page 787. And I opened with the collect that we now use on the last Sunday of Trinity, Bible Sunday. And it's the first part of that collect, which, to be honest, I think is the most biblical prayer that we have on reading the Bible, that which I think is so pertinent. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life. I did try yesterday to get hold of some rice paper. I've already got a pen that I've used for when I decorate cakes that's edible ink, and I was going to write some scripture on the rice paper and then give it out to you all so that you could all inwardly digest the scriptures, but I couldn't find any. And it was only last night that I suddenly thought I should actually have got a tortilla wrap, because actually that's probably much more the sort of weight and texture that the scrolls would have had and might better have represented the first three verses of our Ezekiel reading. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Sometimes scripture does seem very sweet to eat, thoroughly enjoyable, so pleasant that we want to keep on reading. And I must admit, one night when I was a teenager, my mother said, "Why is your light on at 5 o'clock in the morning?" Because I'd started reading and I just got so caught up, I'd carried on. It's not surprising, really, because scripture is, after all, to do with the love of God for his people. And it so often contains words that comfort us, that guide us, that encourage and build us up and affirm us. And those are particularly sweet when everything around you seems to be going wrong. But I'm sure I'm not alone in finding that sometimes, although scripture can offer us sustenance and all that we need for life, it can be a little bit like a dry tortilla wrap. It can be hard to swallow. It can be uncomfortable and challenging. Scripture, after all, seeks to change us, to help us to become all that we were created to be, to fulfill our God-given potential. And I don't know about you, but there are odd times when I really have not wanted to be changed, even though I know it will be for the better. Occasions when I've wanted to dig my heels in and resist change, oppose growth, and when I have found what has been offered to me unpalatable. Earlier this week, somebody said, "Would you like a cup of tea or coffee?" And I said, "Oh, I'd love a cup of tea, please." And they gave it to me, and I drank it without checking, and nearly spat it out because it was actually white coffee. And somehow, because I was expecting tea, it tasted really unpalatable. It didn't taste good. There are times when God speaks to us and it's not what we've expected to hear, and it's not what we want to hear, it's not what we want to take in, and we want to spit it out. And that's where the house of Israel was. In many respects, Ezekiel's task seemed easy. He was to go and speak to one people, who spoke the same language he did, and who had been raised as he had, knowing God and his ways. They were his people. But the house of Israel was going through a rebellious stage and did not want to listen to God, to taste the good fare he would give them, because they wanted something different. It's a little like our reading from 2 Timothy 4 the other week. For the time is coming when people will not listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Do we always want to hear what God would say to us? It's always good to examine ourselves, isn't it? To ask, are we being like the house of Israel? Are we not listening to what God wants to say to us? Because we'd rather hear something else, something we would find more palatable, even though it's actually not as good for us. Do we have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart? A GIF came up on my phone the other day. Is it a GIF or a GIF? That just shows my knowledge. It's spelled G-I-F anyway. I think it's a GIF. Is it? Is it a GIF? Great, thank you. I won't look so stupid now in the 10:45. And it showed a clip of a shepherd. It looked as though it was a Mediterranean country. And he'd obviously been, he or she, because they were in a hoodie. You couldn't actually identify what gender they were. And they were climbing a very steep mountain and had just got up onto this dirt track. And obviously somebody was filming it on their film. And all of a sudden, one of the sheep just put its head down and ran at the shepherd and knocked them flying. And they were obviously seriously hurt. They lay there with their arms and legs flapping, and it took them a while to get back up again. I'm not quite sure what that says about the person who's actually filming it, to be honest. And then as they started getting up and were still crouched down, blow me down, but that ram or ewe came again and did exactly the same thing, knocked them down again. The reason you're not seeing it is partly because I'm not sure how to put a GIF up on the screens, but also it was particularly brutal. That person was obviously very seriously hurt. And it reminded me of the hard-headedness, because both rams and bulls have heads that's the best place for them to knock heads. They will do less damage to themselves than if the head of somebody else connects with another part of their body. I wonder how hard-headed are we? Time and time again, the way that this ewe or ram behaved towards the shepherd, who was, after all, taking them to fresh pasture and looking out for them and protecting them and giving them all that they needed to thrive and flourish. Time and time again, the people of God behaved exactly as that ram and ewe did and responded to their prophets God sent by headbutting them, killing them sometimes. The very people who were trying to take God's people to a better place with good sustenance, which caused them to flourish, are knocked down by those who have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Those people who think they know best and neither want to listen nor hear. God knows this, and in verses 8 and 9 tells the prophet, "But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint, so that you can bash heads against them, so that they will not be able to injure you. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are rebellious people." It's small wonder, isn't it, that many prophets did not want to go and deliver the message of God, because all too often they faced opposition from those God wanted to help. And that's still happening today. But also, that prophet, Ezekiel, was changed. Because to be given a tough head and the resilience to stand up against those people who would bash heads with him, he had to be changed. What does that do to somebody when their personality has to be changed that they can cope with dealing with God's people? You would think, wouldn't you, that God's people would be delighted to hear from God and would respond favorably to the one that God sends. But as Ezekiel was to find out, that is too often not what happens. How do we respond when we hear God's word and when it challenges us? How do we respond to God, to the scriptures, to those who preach? And he said to me, "Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' whether they listen or fail to listen." Ezekiel was challenged by God and he responded in obedience. We may not have the gifting of prophecy, but God calls each of us to share the good news of the kingdom with others, the life-giving message of hope, acceptance and love, which we have received, is the greatest thing we can pass on to family and friends. How often do we do it? So back to the collect for Bible Sunday. We need to hear the scriptures, not merely listen to them, and we need to allow others the opportunity of hearing them too. We need to read the scriptures. Some of us find it easier to take in the written rather than spoken word. And we might need to consider as well whether we do something like support the Bible Society, because it is far easier to absorb God's word in our natural tongue than in a second language. Mark here means more than merely paying attention. It means to make a mark, not in the outward sense of drawing a line under a particular bit of script in your Bible, although I've got many Bibles marked up in that way, and with little notes written in such small print, I'd probably struggle to read it now. But inwardly to mark, to let the scriptures themselves underscore in those passages which are marked out by God, to make that particular mark in us. Those verses of a reading which just jump off the page at you, or those passages of scripture that seem particularly pertinent and that to which God keeps redrawing our attention. Don't ignore the work of the Holy Spirit when God speaks to you through scripture. Marking and being marked in turn is the beginning of learning. I think most people here probably learned the same way I did, which was a teacher stood at the front and you learnt by rote, by parrot fashion. Yes? That's the didactic way of teaching. They don't do it in schools like that. Sorry. Two people at least who are here, maybe three. I'm not sure about Sue Corrin, so okay. And that seems to have gone out of favour, but there is something actually about learning the scriptures by heart, parrot fashion. That's partly why in things like the 8 o'clock BCP service, we have the comfortable verses, and those comfortable verses are repeated at funerals, because they're the verses that people remember. And often if people are on the edge of a coma, they will repeat those comfortable verses if you pray them over them. And they will repeat the words of the Lord's Prayer because they've learnt it parrot fashion. It's soaked into them. It is good to learn the scriptures parrot fashion because they can come back to us to remember them. They can give us direction and comfort throughout our lives. Maybe it's the last prayerful request in our collect, which is the deepest though. Inwardly digest. When we eat the scriptures, we inwardly digest them. We are what we eat. This has its root in a profound and ancient way of reading, still preserved by the church in the name Lectio Divina. You can see its earliest roots in Jesus' word to Satan, themselves a quotation from scripture. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are to live on and be sustained by Scripture, just as we live on and are sustained by bread. To take it in daily until it becomes transformed into part of the very substance of who we are, giving us new strength. Lectio Divina is a way of becoming immersed in the Scriptures very personally. It draws on the way Jews read the Haggadah, a text read during Passover that retells the Exodus story. Haggadah means telling, and along with being a physical text, the word captures the practice of telling and retelling a story so that you repeat it verbatim and it's synced into your very consciousness, into your being. The Christian form of Lectio Divina was first introduced by Gregory of Nyssa in the 4th century and encouraged and built upon a century later by Benedict, who founded the Benedictine Order. It's a way of developing a closer relationship with God by prayerfully reflecting on his words. In Lectio Divina, the chosen scriptural text is read 4 times in total, giving an opportunity to think deeply about it and respond thoughtfully. So the 4 stages are, and it's always good to follow them, although you can, once you've become familiar with it, can play around with them a little, is first to prepare, to spend a few moments sitting quietly and asking God to speak to you, being aware that you are in his presence. Then reading through the text. Listen carefully for any words or phrases that seem to jump out. It's important not to force things, but to wait patiently for God to give gentle guidance. The second reading of the same passage focuses further on the points you became aware of during the first reading. And then you reflect on what you believe God is saying to you without analysing the passage. It's not a Bible study. It's just saying, this word is living and active. What's God actually saying to me personally today? It helps to ask God to make his focus clear. And then the third thing, after a third reading, is responding. And you can find it useful to jot down or journal what it is that God has said to you so that you can look back on that at a later time. This is also the time you can respond in prayer, which gives the opportunity for a conversation with God. And then finally, after the 4th reading, it's good to spend about 10 minutes in silent contemplation. It isn't a time of prayer or meditation, just time to sit quietly and allow God to work. I do hope that you will be encouraged to try this way of reading the Scriptures, Lectio Divina, and that it will draw you closer to God. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.